Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. We're so glad that you have decided to stick around and study God's Word with us. My name is Justin Reed, and this is Reading the Word. And the name of the program simply describes what our goal is here this afternoon. We want to open God's Word, read it, and apply it to our lives so that we may be better servants of His tomorrow than we were yesterday. I want us to begin a brand new study now entitled, What's in a Name? What's in a Name? And we're going to take our lesson text from this, from Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. So I would encourage you to grab your Bible, your copy of God's Word, and if you don't have a Bible accessible, of course I will be reading the passages to you. You can also find many Bibles online. Absolutely no charge to you. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible, by the way. What's in a name? Matthew 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, And she, that's Mary, and Mary shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Friends, we realize that names are important because names serve as an identifier. If you look up in a dictionary what the word name is defined as, it is defined as a word or a phrase that constitutes the distinctive designation of a person or thing. Name can also mean a reputation. Name can mean a family or a clan. For instance, my name is Justin Reed. And so people designate, and I am known by the name Justin Reed. Not Umberto. If you call me Umberto, I will not answer because that is not my name. My name is Justin Reed. In fact, some people's names have had a lot of thought put into them. Every name has a meaning. Joshua means Yahweh is salvation. Jesus means Savior. We learn that Matthew 1:21. My name Justin means righteous. If your name is Tanner, that means one who tans. You know, they're pretty simple that way. In our study, which we'll probably compose of this week's lesson and next week's lesson as well, I want us to look at three names that we find within the Word of God. And I want us to examine those to the best of our abilities. And so our first one's all the way back in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25, we're going to look at Adam. Adam is a very important man in the Bible, and so I would agree he is deserving of some of our study here this afternoon. The Bible says, And the Lord God said that it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast out of the air, and beast of the field, and fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife. And the Bible tells us that they were not afraid. Well, we see some very important things about Adam. He was created by God. He is the first man. Now, we learn in 1 Corinthians 15:45 there is a second Adam referenced there, making a reference to Christ. And when the first Adam, sin entered the world, and through the second Adam, sin was defeated. There are a lot of great passages there. We see that Adam had a job there in the Garden of Eden. Verses 18 and 19, the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet. Also, earlier there in the passages, we see that Adam's job, he was to till the garden. Adam was a husbandman, as we might call him today. But he has another job. Because Adam, verse 20 of Genesis 2, he gives names to all the cattle and all the fowls of the air and to every beast of the field. Adam literally had every animal known on the earth paraded before him, and he assigned each one a name. I love going to zoos. One of my favorite things, zoos and aquariums. We love going. Giraffes are my favorite, but I love seeing all these different animals that normally I wouldn't get to see, and I love it when they're out and playful. Can you just imagine what it would have been like for having all these animals passed by Adam, and Adam assigns names? For instance, he would have said, and I'm going to call these giraffes, and I'm going to call these elephants. And if you ever wonder why a platypus is a platypus, Adam, and why an okapi is an okapi, that's Adam, and a hippopotamus, you see where I'm going. Adam assigned a name to all of these creatures. But there's a problem, Genesis 2:20. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. Adam has seen at least one of every animal, every fowl, every creeping thing. And in essence, Adam goes, there's not a duplicate of me. There's multiple giraffes. There are multiple rhinoceroses. There's just one of me. Friends, it's important to note that man should not be with the animals. If that was the case, there'd be no need for the woman. But it's important that man and woman are together. And so God does the first surgery, Genesis 2:21. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And the Lord took one of Adam's ribs and closed the flesh thereof up. First surgery, successful surgery, I might add. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and he brought her unto the man. And before we have to take a quick break here to provide you information about the Wood Church of Christ, we see that phrase, and the Lord brought her unto the man. That means that he married them. Marriage is the oldest institution, Genesis 2 and verse 22. That was God's plan. One man, one woman, for one life. That's God's given plan. I hope you'll stick around on the other side of this break. We're going to continue looking at what's in a name. We're going to finish up on Adam and move on to our second point here. Stick around. More Reading the Word coming up right after this break.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
And we're back here on Reading the Word. Thank you so much for sticking around with us. We're looking at the question, what's in a name? And so we're starting back in the very beginning with Adam, and we've just discussed how Genesis 2:22, God made woman out of a rib of Adam. He brings her unto him. That means, in other words, God performed a marriage ceremony. They are husband and wife. That is God's plan. And he names her woman, verse 23. That name's important because she was taken out of man. Now, we also see that eventually her name is called Eve, and we actually learn that at the end of the third chapter because she is the mother of all living. But he names her woman, because she was taken out of man. Now, something interesting I just want to mention as an aside before we move onward in our study of what's in a name. It's often been said that God used a rib to show that man and woman are to be equal to one another. If God had taken something out of the head, that may represent that the woman is to be over the man. And if God had maybe have taken something out of the foot, that the woman should be under the feet of man. But God chose something from the rib, so they're supposed to go through this life hand in hand and side by side. Now, friends, when we look at what's in a name, we know animal names are important. However, the name of man and of woman, that's even more important. And so that's why our first study in this brand new series on Reading the Word of what's in a name is Adam. And as we transition to our second point, and if you're turning with me in your copy of the Scriptures, and I sure hope that you are, we're going to be in Acts chapter 18. I do want to mention, though, if you've missed any lessons in this series, or you want to go back and listen to them again, or get ahead maybe, if that opportunity presents itself, they're all available on my website, and it's totally free, www.thejustinreedshow.com/readingtheword. That's thejustinreedshow.com/readingtheword. Available for you 24/7, 365. What's in a name? We've looked at Adam, and now we're looking at Apollos. I love the study of Apollos. Join with me in Acts chapter 18, starting in verse 24, please. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. And this man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, when Aquila and Priscilla heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting to the disciples to receive him, who, when he had come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Why are we looking at Apollos? Because there's a lot we can learn about the name of Apollos. First off, his name alone. Now, Apollos is a Jew. But Apollos is a Grecian name, or a name derived from Greek heritage. It's not a Jewish name. My best illustration similar to this is like Saul and Paul, different names through different characters, or through different heritages, if you will. But Apollos is a Grecian name. Now, Apollos, A-P-O-L-L-O-S, means of Apollo. And Apollo was a god, that's a lowercase g, or an idol, if you want to call him that. But they called him the lowercase g god of truth and of light. Now, it was often said that an oracle that came from Apollos was highly valued, as it was written in an easy-to-understand manner. And this may have characterized the oratory abilities there that Apollos had. We don't know. But that's what his name means. Now, as we're going through Acts chapter 18, verse 24, is a certain Jew named Apollos. Next, we see he's of Alexandria. Now, that's a Grecian city that was founded by Alexander the Great in Egypt, and that's located near the mouth of the Nile. There was a university there that aspired to be the learning center of the world. In fact, it's said that the library there of Alexandria had over 900,000 scrolls of knowledge. And this was a very influential city. It'd be like today you going to hear an oration or a speech from a man, and they said, well, he's a Harvard man. You know, a Harvard man, or he went to John Hopkins. That just carries some weight with it. We see that is kind of the same thing there of Alexandria. But we also see of Apollos there in Acts chapter 18 and verse 24, the Bible tells us that he was an eloquent man. Or in Greek, it means he's learned, or learned. Means he had a classical education. Means he is skilled in his speaking. But we also see something else about him there. We see verse 25, he's fervent in the Spirit. Means he's not a dry professor, if you will. His heart burned with his message. I think about Jeremiah 20, verse 9. The word of God was like a burning fire within the heart of Jeremiah. Not a dry speaker. He wanted to proclaim the message. But what else do we learn about Apollos? Well, we learn verse 25 that he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. He was not brash, but he spoke with courage, expressing the confidence that he had in the Scriptures and also the appropriateness of the message that he delivered. He was confident. He knew what he had to say, and he was willing to say it. And the last thing we see is he was mighty in the Scriptures. He's the kind of preacher a young preacher would try to emulate. The great preachers days gone by, Marshall Keeble, Gus Nichols, Guy N. Woods, people like that. Certainly, he would have been a very powerful presenter. But we're going to learn that there's a problem with Apollos. Even though he has this great heritage, there is still a problem with him. Now, what I want you to do between now and when we can reconvene this radio program in a week from now is be studying Acts 18, and we'll reconvene at the same time, and we'll continue looking at what's in the name, shall we? I want to thank you for joining me. I hope you can join me again next week. And I do want to leave you very quickly with a passage from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 and following. May the good Lord bless you and keep you. Thank you so much for joining Reading the Word. I hope you can join us again next week.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.